Welcome to Mission Briefing.
Hello and welcome to Mission Briefing. This is a special Mission Briefing episode. This will be partially released on the general Myopia feed, and then it will appear fully on the Myopia Patreon feed. And so this is your host, John Copsey, and it's been a while since we've spoken. It's good to see you again. And today we do Casino Royale, the 1967 spoof that predicted a whole lot of what came later, both original canon James Bond material, but also the Austin Powers of the world. And so we'll dive into this, and with me today is Nick Hoffman.
Hey guys, thanks for having me, John. It's been a while. You have heard from us more recently than we have talked Bond, because I re-released a bunch this summer. It's good to be doing fresh material with you, John.
It's been a while. It definitely has. It's good to be back.
We didn't talk about this before, but do you want to talk about our fraught decision to be doing this instead? Do you remember what we were supposed to be recording for?
I believe we were going to record for the new James Bond film, which was delayed by at least 6 months, up to a year. We'll see.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a very distant second place. But yeah, we did it. We struggled through it, and now you the audience will get to struggle through as well.
Yeah, and since John and I like each other, we might do some more of these espionage thriller. I heard that, you bastard.
Yeah. we can subject Nick to more of these B movies.
Well, these Bond-ish movies, I think, would be appropriate.
Bond-ish, yeah, and that's actually something that I would like to bring more into Mission Briefing, since we, as you are dedicated followers know, we've run through the entire gamut of the established James Bond films, but there are a whole slew of films that either owe homage to James Bond or directly rip off James Bond, and one of those is the film we're about to do, Casino Royale, which does a bit of both. And then gives a little back, and you know, we'll go into that as we do it. But yeah, so we have lots of stuff to come forward with in the coming months, years, decades, and
all under quarantine, of course.
You, the audience, all under quarantine. Exactly. That's made this a lot more fun, a lot more interesting, and I don't actually have to see Nick, which is not a good and a bad thing, Nick.
That's about right.
I think we're all feeling that at this point. But yeah, it did. So this is something that Nick and I decided we would do, just the two of us, a little bit personal. And yeah. We'll see how this goes. So Nick, why don't you talk about the Patreon? So this episode will be released partially to the main feed and partially on Patreon.
Yeah, and I don't want to dwell on this because I know those of you who are on Patreon are sick of us talking about it because you're already on it. And those of you who are actively avoiding giving us money don't want to hear it. But patreon.com/myopia at the $1 level, all you have to do is join the $1 level, and we will give you access to all the back catalog. We'll give you access specifically to Mission Briefing, and you know, once we hit 250 total monthly dollars, we'll even bring back animation in the form of Myopia Mornings and our morning cartoons. In the meantime, of course, if you stumbled across this without knowing, we're a bad movie, and not just bad, just nostalgic movie podcast. And since John and I and some other regulars like Mark and Matt, Perrine, not Quinn, and Daniel also grew up with the Bond movies, we went through them all a few years ago. And we're kind of itching to redo some stuff with that. And you get that all at the $1 level. We also have three tiers at $3, where you get the whole back catalog. $5, where you get an additional monthly episode. $10, where we release quarterly a movie riff, which is something I do with the award-winning award-winning Cineprov group, and at $50, you get to pick the movies for us. There's a dozen of you who can pick out the movies for us. We're still missing a few, but at this point, guys, I want to get to the movie, but I want to thank you for subscribing. And if you're not subscribing yet, enjoy this little freebie for the next few minutes before we switch back over to private.
All right. Sounds good. So we have that to look forward to. So this will be the best first half of a podcast that you will ever get as just a tee up to the Patreon edition. So look forward to this.
Yeah. And please let us know if there are other Bond-like devices you want us to go over. Obviously, we've done one Mission Impossible, but there's plenty of John le Carré and Old the Saint or the remake of The Saint or whatever that is Bond-adjacent that would make some good episodes. Even if we do some Saturday morning cartoons, we could do some old James Bond Jr. or something.
And if we really – oh, my God. If we really felt like it, I don't believe we've done Austin Powers yet, have we?
Yeah, and you could almost make me want to watch that third one, but I'd kill you. I think the first one's a movie. The last two are...
We could do the first one, just the first one.
The first one.
Yeah.
Totally.
So let's get into this. Casino Royale, not to be confused with the Daniel Craig Casino Royale. This is the 1967 Woody Harrelson, Peter Sellers, David Niven, Orson Welles. Actually, that's selling it pretty well right there. The cast is one of the highlights of this film. It's probably the only highlight of this film, but you know, we'll get into that. So this is very loosely based on the novel, the very first James Bond novel by Ian Fleming. I believe this is one of the things that spurred the dispute that split the James Bond franchise up until about year 2000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then the Broccoli, Eon, United Artists people bought the rights back from the people who owned this.
Mm-hmm.
So doing a bit of research into this, this was originally going to be a straight-up James Bond film. They were looking at people like Cary Grant to play James Bond.
Uh-oh.
And over about a decade of development, it got nowhere. Meanwhile, the Cubby Broccoli, Sean Connery version took off, and they decided, well, we can't beat them at being a straight spy thriller, so we'll make it a satire, a spoof. And we get the steaming pile of turd that is this, which, oof, it's special. It's something special. Nick, do you want to give us the plot synopsis?
God help me. Okay, so I mean, this is utter death. So effectively, the cold open is
take your time.
I mean, I'm really trying to wrap my mind around this. It is such catastrophic nonsense that the fact that you brought up five directors is all you need. Like there's nothing that connects this film together. But I will attempt to do it. So cold open, smash cut, psychedelic titles, smash cut to five old men driving in a car. They're approaching a house and a guy called M, who is a Scotsman, is trying to describe what a perfect spy is. Turns out that spy is James Bond. We meet James Bond, played by David Niven, who is disgusted at his namesake, someone who they called James Bond, given 007, which for all those of you who believe that he's like a Time Lord or some nonsense, you immediately have full credit here. The four old men in the car are the head of the MI6, CIA, KGB, and the head of, I believe, the French Secret Service or something like that. And they're like, look, someone's killing all of our men. We need your help because you're the greatest spy that's ever lived. And turns out that this Bond is crazy. He's chaste. He doesn't drink. But he's remained in pretty spectacular shape otherwise. And all of that is to find out who Dr. Noah is, who are these assassins that are killing all these spies, to get to the bottom of – they use the old term. They use SMERSH instead of Spectre. SMERSH is a stupid name. I'm sorry, Ian. That was a dumb name. But anyway, essentially, as he's saying he would never ever rejoin, a bunch of these Smersh agents blow up his house, killing the four heads of the Secret Service, putting the old Bond out of retirement against his will in order to try to solve this mystery. At which point he is seduced by fake French / Scottish spies at M's wake. And he gets sucked into this world of espionage where about halfway through they try to do the plot of Casino Royale, then give up after Orson Welles plays Le Chiffre, which is about where I gave up too, ending in an atrocious third act where the movie literally grinds to a halt. We haven't mentioned this yet, but for a comedy, it's 2 hours and 11 minutes. You were talking about how it starts out as a drama and it ended up as a bad comedy. Right now, I don't know about you, but I'm being inundated with those damn masterclass ads every time I watch a video online. And Judd Apatow describes it, writing comedy, as writing a drama and then adding jokes because the story should stand on its own. And this feels like a meandering nonsense Judd Apatow movie, doesn't it? Like, everyone thinks they're being funny. Everyone's allowed to just riff it, baby. And in the end, the movie is utter nonsense.
Oh, absolutely. And you throw in the fact that the actors are not necessarily renowned for their stand-up or their light on their feet thinking, and the five different directors and the decade of production and Peter Sellers leaving halfway through, and you get this steaming pile of garbage that has very little pulling it together.
Yeah.
Like the first act is probably the strongest, where we're given David Niven, well, we'll get further into the plot, but we're given David Niven kind of coming in and taking over MI5 as James Bond and responding to an actual threat that spies across the world are being killed. And he decides, well, to confuse everybody, we're going to name all our spies James Bond. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an interesting twist. It's a bit quirky, but sure, why not? Apparently that's now canon, since the new 007 is not James Bond, mm-hmm. in the new film. But that's kind of cool. Okay, sure. And then we're introduced to Peter Sellers' character, James Bond, who he's a card player, and they...
you're right. Yeah, he owes Smersh money. No, I mean, you're absolutely nailed it there. I mean, and the problem with this movie among other glaring errors is you do have two essentially comedic actors. You have Peter Sellers, who by this point has already been in Doctor Strangelove and been the Pink Panther, you know, Clouseau in the Pink Panther. Like, he's a funny dude, but he wanted to play this as a straight James Bond. Like, he wanted to be, you know, kind of... I mean, these movies reek of Roger Moore, but remember, Roger Moore is charming and a little goofy, but he's playing the role seriously. But at the time, of course, all we had was Sir Sean, who is why I would assume they made M super Scottish. But, I mean, even he plays it with kind of a smile, but it's not a comedic performance. That's what... The main comedic actor wanted to do, and then they made it a comedy kind of against his will. And on the other hand, I mean, bafflingly, we think of now as Woody Allen as, you know, a director and criminal, which is often synonymous. But he was a stand-up and a funny guy. And so Woody Allen playing Dr. Noah is the one comedic person, and you can tell he wrote his own material, and he's playing this like an extended Benny Hill sketch, which is really just, it is something. I don't know what it is, but it is something.
I think at one point they were actually playing the Benny Hill, the yakety sack kind of trumpet music while people were sped up and running around.
Oh God, they do the overspeeding thing. They 100% do. And at the end, when he's going nuts, he's jumping around like he's Bugs Bunny. It's utter bafflement. It truly is. Hey guys, if you like this, please subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/myopia, where you can get
all of our old Bond episodes, an extra bonus episode every month, and the rest of this recap of 1967's Casino Royale. And all the Bond stuff comes in at the $1 level. So please sign up, and thanks.